Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Monday. We have got major news to report on, and it doesn't have anything to do with the coronavirus or with the riots in the streets of Nevada, the looting, the damage. It has nothing to do with that. But it's about this radio program and this radio station. Big news coming Friday. Big news. It's not finalized yet. We're still working on it. But we got a major announcement coming on Friday. So be listening. This is going to be huge. Joining us now, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, he is Victor Jakes, and he wrote a column that is going to make a lot of people very happy, and a lot of people may not be very happy with him. He is Victor Jakes, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Victor, good morning. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Thank you. I hope you had a good one as well. I hope you avoided the rioters and the looters.
Well, it's funny. This is a true story. I decided to have a late lunch, early dinner at Grape Street in downtown Summerlin. So I sit down, and we're having trouble getting a waiter to come take our order, and it's obvious there's something going on. And one of the other diners, Joseph, new friend, says, they're expecting a protest, that they're coming to downtown Summerlin, and they're going to close everything down at 5:00. They're going to close everything down because the Antifa and all those people were supposed to be there at 7:00, so they want to make sure that we were all long gone. So all of a sudden, we're trying to hurry up, and we get out of there about 5 after 5, and the place is emptying out. Because they're closing early because of the riots. So it turned out it wasn't all that bad, I guess, in downtown Summerlin, at least from the reports I've been seeing on TV. But you wrote an amazing column talking about that George Floyd doesn't necessarily point out that we have some sort of systemic racism in our country. Can you talk a little bit about what the broad strokes of your column over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the George Floyd's death is a tragedy. I mean, it's perfectly appropriate that the officer involved was charged with murder. I encourage anyone who has not seen the video, I mean, just take even 10 or 15 seconds and watch, because it is, I mean, it's really unlike anything I've ever seen before in terms of, you know, someone completely subdued and an officer just kneeling on somebody's neck. And, you know, this should have been, this could have been, this almost was a moment of, a very rare moment of national unity, where everyone from the president to Joe Biden, from Rush Limbaugh to Al Sharpton, you know, basically said, this is not acceptable. That what happened here was outrageous, and we think it's atrocious, and, you know, charge him, right? Like, figure out what you can charge him with and charge him. And then the Democrats went further, because what they said was, you know, Biden said basically that black people and black lives are under threat every day in this country. It's not an isolated incident, but part of an ingrained systemic cycle that exists in this country. And so you go from, you know, basically the question is this is outrageous, but is it an isolated incident, or is it just this has happening every day? And yes, if you have brown skin, you should be terrified, because the police are really out to get you. And the numbers just don't show it. I mean, it's not in the numbers. You can't make a case based on you know, the totality of the information that the police are filled with racial bias. And anyway, so that's what the column was, you know, the general point of the column.
Now, do African Americans have a beef, though, when it comes to the deck is essentially stacked against them? When it comes to the coronavirus, it impacts African Americans. You know, when it comes to education, when it comes to crime, when it comes to all kinds of stuff, that the deck is stacked against them. I mean, do they have a beef on that front?
Well, I mean, I think there's a, you know, that answer is more nuanced. I mean, if the only thing you know about someone is that they're African American in America, you know, are their, you know, outcomes in life going to be worse than the average white person or the average Asian person? Yes, they are, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, I think, you know, obviously what happened with slavery is a factor, but I think a bigger factor is the fact that, you know, the schools that they're going to right now, you know, largely African American schools have been failing them and have been failing them for decades. I don't agree with the idea that, you know, basically there's invisible racism throughout the system, and that's what's keeping African Americans down. I don't buy it. I mean, you look at the reaction to what happened here. Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson called it a modern-day lynching. But you know what happened with lynchings is the people got off, right? Like, the people didn't go to jail. They weren't charged with murder. So we've come a long ways as a society. Doesn't mean things are perfect. Doesn't mean things are as good as they are. But they are a lot better than they have been in previous decades. And so you can't say that, oh, it's just racism that's causing all of these negative outcomes. You look at things like the lack of fathers in the African American community. I mean, you look at things like how the teachers union has for decades protected ineffective teachers, fought against efforts like school choice that would have improved education for all students, but especially for African American students. I mean, these are our major factors, and it lets off the real problems when you just say, oh, it's invisible racism. Because you know what? You can't fight invisible racism. Right. Like I think that's one of the reasons that people are so angry. It's basically they've been told, you work as hard as you can, the system is going to get you. You know how horrible it would feel to think that if I work as hard as I can, I'm never going to make it because the system is going to be out to get you. What a terrible message to send to send to people. And anyway, that's a little more of a rant. But
let me throw something out there then. This whole thing of victimization. Liberal Democrats have reinforced time and again that African Americans are being held down by the man, that that essentially it is this systemic racism that keeps them from maximizing their potential. And I guess my question is, does George Floyd's death, does it reinforce the need for reparations? And how long will it be till we start hearing that? We heard it from presidential candidates on the left, but are we going to start hearing that now?
Well, I mean, I think that's a demand that has never quite gone away, and you know, it's not broadly popular. So I don't necessarily think Joe Biden's going to going to call for that. But that's the type of mindset. I mean, you hit on it with this idea that Democrat politicians, for their own electoral advantage, have told the African American community, you know, you're a victim. Republicans want to kill you, basically. And what a horrible message. I mean, to tell us, the people that you claim to care about, that, oh, you're a victim, vote for me and I'll take care of you, but basically you're powerless unless I'm in power. What a terrible, selfish message to send to people. Instead of saying, look, things are not perfect, but you know what? Things are a lot better, and we are on a path to progress that was unimaginable 100 years ago. And you know what? This is the greatest country in the history of the world. And don't let some idiot racist stop you, because the vast majority of people in this country aren't like that. The problem with reparations is who are you going to give them to? You can't give them to people who were slaves 160 years ago. I mean, if you want to say that after the Civil War there should have been some sort of compensation, I mean, look, I think that's hard to argue with. But the problem is right now is you can't just look at someone's skin color and say, well, you've been affected by slavery. I mean, were they an immigrant? Can you look at a white person and who had a great-great-grandfather who died in the Civil War and say, well, we got to take some money from you and we got to give it to someone who immigrated here 10 years ago? It doesn't work logistically. You're not compensating the people who are actually damaged by slavery. And basically, everyone could go back in their past and say, and obviously it's not as bad as slavery was, but say, well, I've had some disadvantage, you know, because everyone's had some sort of disadvantage that they've had to overcome, aside from, you know, maybe the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. I think it's the, when you focus on reparations, basically you're telling people that they're powerless to fix their own situation. And that is the most destructive message you can send to people of any color.
Again, Victor Jakes joining us, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, a provocative column over the weekend. I want to ask you about, because I thought about this as I was watching the TV and the various cities, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, New York, and I'm looking at people carrying flat-screen TVs out of these Target locations, and I kept thinking to myself, is this their version of reparation? Is this, well, I'm owed this because the man has held me down. What about from your perspective? I mean, is that what does that give justification for looting?
No, absolutely not. And I think it was so funny, you know, at the start of these riots and the looting before it just exploded out of control. You had a lot of liberals on Twitter basically saying, well, you can't judge African-American people for looting because you don't know what they're experiencing. Do you realize that that's actually a racist idea? Basically, you're saying African-American people can't have adult conversations. They can't protest in civilized manners. So we need to lower the bar and look the other way when they riot and loot. No, African-American people are people. They are fully capable of having civilized protests, adult conversations, and not stealing things. And no, I'm not going to lower the standard for someone because of their skin color. And I think it's a racist suggestion when people do so. And so, look, there has to be a standard. We can't go to the police officer and say, well, he was having a bad day or he was having marital trouble. All we can say is, look, this was totally unacceptable to kneel on somebody's neck for 8 minutes. And it doesn't matter what your skin color was. Doesn't matter, you know, if you were having a bad day or not, it was unacceptable. And there is a standard, and we need to hold people to a standard. And really, we can't function as a diverse society unless we are willing to say, look, this is an objective standard, and we expect people, whatever your race, whatever your background, whatever your education level, to meet a standard of basic human decency and basic, you know, a basic willingness to follow the law.
What do you think of our leadership? The governor, he was out with a broom sweeping up damage the other morning from some of the riots in Reno. You've got Mayor Sheehy. You've got the governor calling out the National Guard. You've got the news conference, the presser yesterday here in Vegas with the likes of Aaron Ford and the mayor and other civic leaders. What do you think of their response to this?
Well, I think you know, Governor Sisolak was a little behind the eight ball. You know, I think he should have activated the National Guard on Saturday morning. He did do it Saturday night, but they actually never went out Saturday night. Basically, you know, at 9 or 10 o'clock when Reno was, you know, they were breaking it. Protesters, rioters were breaking into Reno City Hall. They decided, boy, it really, really would be helpful to have the National Guard. And they didn't, to the best of my knowledge, didn't actually go out that night. They just were called up to basically start assembling. So, you know, I think they were a little unprepared, and I think they should get docked for that. I mean, I think what Sisolak said at his press conference was great. It was spot on. It was basically, get out of here. Don't do this. This is unacceptable. And, I mean, you saw Metro, I think, was a lot more aggressive last night, and I think that was the right thing to do. I mean, the best way to prevent rioting and looting is to break up the crowd before it starts. And I just have to say, you know, there's this kind of distinction about, well, some people just want to protest peacefully. Look, if you are holding a protest at 8 o'clock at night, at 9 o'clock at night, that is, you are inviting trouble. There are 14 hours of daylight. Hold your protest during the daylight hours. If you're just getting people together and making them angry and having them wander around for 3 hours at night, you are the one inviting trouble. And so, look, I think, you know, Sisolak was a little unprepared, but, you know, what happened yesterday was a lot better.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Again, we may have another night of unrest. The problems in Reno, you know, Mayor Sheehy is doing her level best. Mayor Goodman here in Las Vegas. And we'll continue to follow this. Victor, always good. We'll talk to you again next week at our new address, okay?
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Very good. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's not going anywhere. Scott Hammond will join us at the bottom of the hour, state senator. We've been talking a lot about the coronavirus. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about what's been going on around the state, not just here in Las Vegas, but in Reno as well. We'll talk about that. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, We need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a health care program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Don't forget, big news coming up. You're going to want to be listening on Friday. We got major news about this radio program, this radio station, and all kinds of stuff to tell you about. That'll be Friday, okay? So make sure you are listening. Coming up, Scott Hammond, state senator, District 18. Yeah. We were going to talk about the coronavirus, but the coronavirus has taken a back seat to rioting in the streets of Nevada. He's a state senator. What is there that the government, the state government, can and should be doing to quell this violence? We'll talk about that and more coming up. Live and local now.
Susan Lee, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are swinging between small gains and losses in afternoon trading amid protests across the country and ongoing tensions between the U.S. and China. And spending for U.S. construction projects dropping to a smaller than expected 2.9% in April, according to the Commerce Department. Still, economists are expecting that construction spending will weaken since so many projects were planned before the coronavirus rocked the economy. And the supervisory board of Lufthansa giving a thumbs up to a close to $10 billion state bailout proposal and urged shareholders to back its decision. And Gap stock is surging 12% following an upgrade from J.P. Morgan. An analyst with the firm argues that things may not be as dismal at the apparel retailer as some investors think, especially at its Old Navy brand, and raising his price target to $11 a share. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump on a video call with the nation's governors calls most of them weak, saying they should be much tougher dealing with the sometimes violent protests happening around the country. He blames the violence on the left-wing Antifa movement, saying he'll have it declared a terrorist organization.
The Justice Department announced that it will use joint terrorism task forces throughout the country to investigate some of the violence in major cities, singling out leftist Antifa activists. A spokesman for the ACLU said there is no legal authority for designating a domestic group as a terrorist organization.
Fox's John Decker. A man in Louisville, Kentucky is shot and killed by police when police chief Steve Conrad says officers and National Guard troops were shot at, breaking up a large crowd.
Our officers are working very hard to keep people safe and to protect property. While doing that, we've had officers shot at and assaulted.
America's listening to Fox News.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Getting Schooled with Abby Hornacek.
Judge Napolitano, when you talk about FISA and FISA court, what does it mean for everyday Americans?
Every keystroke you touch on your mobile device or your desktop is captured by the federal government. Even if you think you've deleted or erased or corrected something, they still have it.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Class dismissed.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
Just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Scott Hammond joining us, state senator, District 18. We have had violence across the state in the aftermath of the tragic death of George Floyd. And, Scott, first of all, your thoughts about the way this whole thing has gone down, not just here in Nevada, but across the nation, violence erupting in our streets.
Well, obviously, I thank you, Kevin, for having me on again this morning. And obviously, I'm just disheartened by it and just glued to the, you know, everything on Twitter, on the news, on TV. I mean, I'm just watching to see what's going on. I am dismayed, you know, when you see the violence and the level of anarchy that exists out there, you can't help but wonder that somebody is out there purposefully wanting this, because let's separate the two issues, right? You've got the folks out there who are protesting what happened in Minneapolis to George Floyd. You've got people out there who legitimately want change to happen and want to, you know, to make people aware of what needs to happen, that it's happening and it needs to change. And they're out there protesting peacefully. I am encouraged by videos I see of protesters singling out people saying, this is not a protester. This is one who wants to incite violence and riot and loot. And I love that. I love that about that group of people out there who are conscientious of that. And then you have the other folks who, for whatever reason, personal, or whether they're getting paid to do it, as there's some allegations out there, or whether or not they're just, you know, in a group of people who are passionate about making sure that there's so much anguish and anger out there that they get every riled up. That's to be just completely wiped out. I mean, I really think that we need to get on top of this, and we need to use whatever we can to stop this from happening, and let those people out there who are protesting and wanting change to be able to do that peacefully. I mean, I really am. I understand that. You know, I know I shouldn't go too far into this question, but you know, I've been in education for many, many years, and I've had students of all backgrounds, races, and I tell you, I've been impacted as an assistant principal. I've had meetings with parents, and I'll never forget one where we had one student. He had an issue with one of the teachers, and we had to sit them all down: the mom, dad, student, teacher. And we went through what was going on and what they were worried about. And that mother, who was trying to raise a young black man to be a black man in this society, she kind of told me what her thoughts were. And I've never forgotten that meeting. So I understand where they're coming from. I understand what they're asking for, and they're doing it. They're trying to do it peacefully. You got some outsiders out there who are destroying our streets and our businesses. And my gosh, we are in trouble, because our businesses are just now trying to get out there, launched again, making money, and trying to survive this pandemic. And this is just not what we need right now. And I think the police department should be out there and making sure this doesn't happen, whatever they need to do.
Again, State Senator Scott Hammond joining us from District 18. There are those that believe and that are asserting that we have systemic racism in our policing, in our police departments. We've had violence, looting, all kinds of things going on up in Reno. Let me just ask you, is it your belief that our police departments here in Nevada, across the nation, have systemic racism that is fueling this?
It's my belief that the departments are learning how to cope with the community that they live in better than they ever have before. And I, you know, one of the things I did over the weekend, I reached out to a few of my friends and said, what are your thoughts on this? And then they all sent me emails, including the mother I talked about a minute ago. She sent me an email and talked about her perspective. I asked another wife, mother, former cop, African American woman. She gave me her perspective. And then another police officer who's been working for Metro for 23 years. And I love that I gained a lot of insight into their perspectives. Our police department here, and I can say with some some degree of certainty out there in the rest of the nation. They have been training and training to become more community-minded police officers, making sure that they understand the communities that they represent and that they police, and they're doing a much better job. And there's nothing worse for a good police officer out there. There's nothing worse than to find a bad police officer who is ruining the rest of their names. I think I saw a post, and I think it was an article that talked about how good cops, when they find systemic, or when they find, I shouldn't say systemic, when they find racism in their ranks, they need to call it out. You know, we all should. We all should. We all should be aware of that. But I think that that's how you're going to root that out, because I can guarantee that most of the police officers out there are good, decent people who are just trying to police their communities, keep us all safe, keep us all healthy as much as they possibly can.
I heard Van Jones on CNN yesterday begin this tirade about, oh, it's not just Antifa. It's white nationalists that are fueling this violence in our streets, in Philadelphia, in New York, in Chicago, in my old stomping ground of Kansas City, in Reno, and across the country, L.A., San Francisco, Berkeley. I want to ask you, though, if you think there's any truth there. I don't see any evidence that it's white nationalism that is fueling this, that the you know, this is a very diverse crowd, and they're getting violent.
Yeah, I haven't seen any evidence. I've heard both, right? I've heard Antifa, I've heard white nationalists. You know, and I hope people are smart enough to hold back and wait for evidence of that to come out before they start talking about it, because it just fuels the anger when people start talking about it without knowing. But I certainly love, again, the approach that I keep hearing. I see video after video of protesters out there saying, call them out. You know, if you hear somebody inciting violence, if you hear somebody asking for you to commit looting, if you see somebody doing something that is counterproductive to what we're trying to do, call them out. And I've seen video after video where they're doing that. And I think that, you know, I taught in a very small town, and when students did something and they got caught, I always used to tell them, you know how you can stop from being caught? And they'd look at me and I'd go, just don't do it. Right? Because eventually you get caught. And I think the same thing's going to happen to these folks. We're going to find out the truth. There's going to be some investigations, and in the information will come out. We'll find out who's behind this. If they're in fact groups out there who are organizing this chaos, I would suspect they're going to be also opportunists, people who just go out and who just want to do, you know, commit mayhem of some sort, go out there and incite people. There's going to always be those opportunists. But for the most part, I've seen some, you know, great people out there who say, enough is enough. We're going to organize. We're going to tell people how we feel, and we're going to try and get something done. And me as a office holder, as a civic leader, I want to be a part of that solution. And that's the only tweet I put out during this whole thing is I really want people to understand that I want to be a part of the solution and helping these folks who need a voice to have that voice.
I want to ask you about Governor Sisolak and his role in all of this. He did eventually call out the National Guard. A lot of people are saying it was too little, too late. The horse was already out of the barn. The genie was out of the bottle, et cetera, et cetera. That the governor was simply too slow to prevent the violence and the looting that we saw, in particular, in Reno.
Well, I tell you, I know I've been harsh on the governor lately, and I'll say rightfully so. I mean, this didn't shock too many people. He has been slow to react to a lot of things. I mean, I for one, like to get information and make decisions. But in certain cases, you have to get that information quickly and then act quickly. And we haven't seen him do that at all. Let's be honest, right? When we asked for him to have a plan to get us out of the quarantine, he didn't have it. You know, when we ask him to get things ready for phase two or phase three, he just doesn't have it. It's mind-numbing sometimes how slow he is to react to certain things. And, you know, if we're waiting for him to come up with solutions or to get us out of trouble, I think we're going to be waiting a long time for that. And I don't want to see people take that into their own hands, but I do want to make sure that we have a government that's more responsive to what we need. So, no, I've not been happy with some of the responses that are coming out of his administration right now.
This all comes in the wake of a global pandemic. We are still in the midst of this thing. People are still dying. People are still contracting the disease, testing positive. And I want to ask you, you've been having these great teletown halls. Are you going to continue to do that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, tonight I have another one. I'll be on tonight with the treasurer, Zach Conine. Again, I'm trying to make sure this is bipartisan. When people call in to a teletown hall, my goal is to make sure we give them answers, right, and to make sure that we provide them with the information that they need. We can talk about the lack of leadership sometimes from the governor's office another time. But the teletown halls have always been about making sure we get information out there. And I'll tell you, before we move off the topic of the governor, one of the other issues that are out there, and I want people out there who are listening, who are having problems with unemployment, to understand, we need to be better about that. I want you to know that we are, as a legislator, am trying to get more answers for folks. This is definitely an executive office responsibility, but we need to try and do better, and we will in the future. Right now, it's just not enough. I know people are waiting, especially those people who are gig workers, independent contractors. They still haven't got that system figured out, and you're waiting around. That is unacceptable. We've got to do better.
Wait a minute. Are they still having problems with the gig workers?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I know that the other day they had a press conference, and they said a statement that I still have to track down and understand, that 85% of those have gotten help. I don't know if the new director, was referring to everybody in general, the old system, the way it was, regular people who were in unemployment, or it was directed towards just the people on the PUA system, or both. If it's just directed towards the PUA system, I can't imagine that statistic is correct, because so many of them are out there still waiting. And I think they're going to get some answers today, but we're not sure what.
Wow, that is incredible that we are still, even as we speak, having trouble with a system. And by the way, in the 6 days since we last talked, is there improvement in the Dieter system? I mean, are you seeing light at the end of the tunnel?
I am, as far as people who have been on the regular system for a while. You start to see then more and more cases getting taken care of, adjudicated, and folks starting to get money. Every day I get text messages from folks letting me know that they've got their money, and they got it all, right? It went back to March 25th or March 15th or whatever it was that they declared unemployment. So there is light in the end of the tunnel there. But again, with the gig workers who have been waiting patiently for us to get our system up and running, of course, we got a vendor out there, GeoSol or Geographic Solutions. They are a vendor in several other states, and we're watching what's going on in those other states, and we're seeing some problems. I think one of the biggest problems right now is just the communication between the state and the vendor in this case. And I think that as soon as that communication gets solved, that we'll probably see a lot more movement towards getting resolution to these folks. Been waiting 10 weeks, 9 weeks. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. You can't, close down the state and not be ready to provide for folks. It's just unimaginable.
Again, State Senator Scott Hammond joining us. Are we ready for casinos to open on Thursday morning, 12:01 a.m.? Are we ready for that?
Well, if you're asking me, Kevin, if I'm ready for it, yeah, we are ready for it. If you're asking if the casinos are prepared with all the procedures, absolutely. Last week at my teletown hall, I had Sandra Morgan, who's she's the chair of the Gaming Control Board. They have done a tremendous job. If there's a bright spot out there, it's been her, and it's been what they've done, the Gaming Control Board. I think that they are absolutely ready. They're going to provide the protection for our tourists coming in, for our locals and our tourists coming in. They're going to make sure that there are protocols in place to make sure that those people are safe and they do their best. So, no, I know that they are prepared and ready. A lot of good people out there in that industry, and they're going to take care of those folks coming into their properties.
Do you think there are still people out there, maybe your constituents, who are still afraid to go out? And if so, what would your message to them be?
Absolutely. I think that there's going to be a lot of, there's going to be a small group of people, maybe even larger right now, who are afraid to go out. And I'd say, don't. I mean, if you feel like you need to stay home, don't. Don't go out until you feel comfortable. I myself, I feel comfortable out there. I go out quite a bit with my my wife, whether it's shopping or otherwise, getting some things done. I think that we're okay. We look at the statistics. Most of the folks who are affected, we have a pretty good idea. It's 65 or older, especially those with underlying conditions. So, you know, if you're in a different category, then again, I would make sure you protect yourself. I mean, there's that personal responsibility that you have to take for yourself. My parents are out there. They live out and around Logandale, and you know, they're taking care of themselves. They self-isolate. They only go out once in a while, and they're still doing everything that they need to protect themselves. But for the most part, I think you know, most of us are realizing that this is not something that's affecting in large numbers some of the folks in different categories, age categories, and otherwise.
Scott, in our final minute, can we get the information on the Teletown Hall again for tonight?
Yeah, well, if you just go to my Twitter feed, we're going to put that phone number out there. It's at Hammond for Nevada, the number four, at Hammond for Nevada. And you can get a hold of that number on there. And I don't have the phone number with me right now. I wish I had. I know that you're trying to get that from me, but I don't have it right now in front of me. But we usually put that out there. We throw it out there as well as tonight's guest, who is the Nevada State Treasurer, Zach Conine. He'll be joining us tonight talking about anything from you know, mortgage payments to renters to a bunch of other issues that his office has been handling during this crisis. They've been doing a great job. I'll have to give it to the treasurer. He's been on top of things and making sure that folks are informed. So it'll be good to have him on the show tonight.
Hey, Scott, always good to visit with you, my friend. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much for having me. You have a good day.
All right, there you go. State Senator Scott Hammond joining us live and local now.
Hey, Nevada, this is Ted Nugent. That's right, Ted Nugent, on behalf of Republican candidate for Congress, Sam Peters, who I have proudly endorsed. Sam is a retired Air Force officer, a Bronze Star-earning warfighter, and one hell of an American. Like me, he supports God, family, country, President Trump, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and Build That Wall. In fact, leaders at the NRA, we just gave Sam a perfect rating. As a business owner, Sam knows how to get Nevada back to work and our country rocking and rolling again. Join Ted Nugent, the Nugent family. Endorse Sam Peters for Nevada with your vote. Learn more about Sam at sampetersforcongress.com. That's Sam Peters, the number four, congress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. I approve this message.
This is paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters for Congress. God bless America.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hi, I'm Sawyer Silberkraus. My dad, Stephen Silberkraus, is running for University Regent. He wants to make sure that every kid like me can get a good education. Please vote for my dad, Stephen Silberkraus, for University Regent. He'll do a good job for you. Paid for by friends for Stephen Silberkraus. I love you, Dad.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I want you to hear this. This is Van Jones from CNN with Wolf Blitzer adding white nationalists to the list of who's causing all of the violence, all the looting, all the rioting.
Various leaders blaming outside agitators ranging from white supremacists to Antifa, far left, far right, for inciting this violence.
Well, you know, they are all correct. There is a toxic mix, and not just, frankly, in that city, but across the country, where you do have these right-wing elements. If you look at the white supremacist websites and that kind of stuff, they are focused on this. They're targeted. They're coming in as agents provocateur, trying to discredit the protest by adding to violence, adding arson. You do have some left-wing anarchist elements that are also there. Who are proud of what they're doing. They're not pretending this to be something that they're not. And then you also, as always, you have just some old, you know, troublemakers and knuckleheads out there as well. And so in this mix, you know, you've got that element. But what I want to point out, there are 40 million African Americans in this country. It's a very large number. 99.9999% of us, heartbroken though we are, disgusted though we are, terrified though we are behaving nonviolently, peacefully. We're on social media. We're calling our elected officials. We're trying to get something done. And 0.00001% of people mixed in with this other weird element are doing stuff that's bad. Let's not take our eyes off the unifying goal of getting justice in this case and fixing the police system in America. Let's not let the rioters win by distracting us on either side.
I'm just telling you, they're now trying to spread the blame around, and it's wrong. We know who is fueling these fires. We'll get to that. Jared Fisher joins us next, live and local, now. When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than three decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
KBET, Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.